I do like the tunes today. They're a little bit different, Dylan.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
We had Ataris before. Now we got some Bon Jovi.
I mean, I'm just, you know, keeping you all on your toes. That's what I do.
Just thought you were going to say, just vibing out.
Just, you know, vibing out here.
Vibing out. It's a Friday.
I feel like I have a pretty good gauge of what each of you like now, so I try to mix in a little bit of
that's
something.
That's not
true. Oh, no?
You didn't play anything I like.
Oh. What do you like, Mike?
Country music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Grab some taste now, Dean, for him.
Yeah. Not really so much Al Dean, a big Eric Church.
I got to find some upbeat country.
I was
going to
say.
You.
And I can get with you on that. Luke Combs, things like that.
Yeah, Luke Combs is good. Yeah. I could send you a few songs. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are vibing out. It's the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ali Mac, and Dylan. We're going to go in the huddle in a moment, talk about Justin Fields and the range of emotions that went on when that news broke yesterday. But Mike, tell everyone who you saw hanging out with the starters and vets yesterday at Falcons training
camp. This was my biggest takeaway from day one. Like, without question, my biggest takeaway from day one, because we walk out there and they're doing a split field practice. And I think there is a quickness within the Falcons media community to look at it and say, oh, these are starters and these are guys, you know, this field is starters and these guys are trying to make the roster. It's just, we talked about it earlier with Jordan Fuller. You don't know that. It's mostly going to be what we used to call in college upperclassmen and frosh. Right, upperclassmen being obviously what a lot of people would look at on the field and say those are ones and twos, but it also comes down to numbers at positions. If you don't have a center to play on field two, then you probably aren't going to bring him over to field one. Right, you're going to have to bring Javon Gwynn or whoever else over. Billy Bowman, when we stepped out at practice yesterday, was the only rookie on the veteran field initially. The only rookie. And was out there running with the first team in the secondary at the nickel spot. And look, like I said, I think a lot of the takeaways from that period of practice are overblown. But that one spoke to me because I was like, it means something to me that you could have easily, at a position like corner, you could have easily slid him over the other field and said, well, you know what, he needs to get over here. And just the fact that Billy Bowman, of all people, and look, Jalen Walker wasn't on this field at this time. James Pierce was not on this field at this time. Xavier Watts was not on this field at this time. Billy Bowman was in next to Jesse Bates, next to, you know, A.J. Terrell, next to Mike Hughes, next to all those other people on field one. And you had every reason not to put him there, and Billy Bowman was over on the field. It's the first – I mean, my eyes were glued. I was like, oh, God. Oh, that's the first thing that I wanted to see. What rookies are over on this field? Billy Bowman was the only one at that point.
We did the draft show the day he was drafted. You and I were on the air when he was drafted. And what did we say from day one? That he was going to come in here and fight for the nickel spot because that's kind of what he played in college. He played, I think they call it the star in that Oklahoma defense, Brent Venables defense, and it was a nickel position. But because he had played safety, like, oh, he's a safety. He's going to – him and Watts are going to fight. He is going – there's a very good chance that he is starting nickel come week one. Very good.
And to be sure, I've always looked at the star position, whatever you call it, with whatever your defense calls it, as kind of a nickel safety hybrid.
Yeah.
Can be a box player, mm-hmm. but also good in coverage on the slot and things like that. Not afraid to step up and set the edge, make a tackle. But, man, like, I know you probably felt the same way I was looking, and I talked to Arch a little bit about this too. It's like, that means something to me, that where he lined up on the field and at what point in practice. I'm talking about the very first initial drill. He was the only rookie to be on the field with that group that he was with on the defense.
Remember when we were talking about camp battles and was it Monday or Tuesday? And we talked about the kick returner and you said Dee Alford be in the fight for it. And remember what I said? I was like, Dee Alford is going to be in a fight for just having a roster spot.
Yeah.
Because I like Dee Alford. I love the story. I remember when he first got here in Atlanta. We were injury riddled. I think it was that Bengals game that he one of the first games he got in, and it was a tough game. But like he's fighting for his job. Like somebody tweeted me like, "Wait, what's Nick Nash's expectations?" I was like, "His only expectation for himself is to make the team. He's got to like guys are great coming out of college, and then we hype them and we love them on the day they sign or draft." But guys like Nick Nash, Dee Alford, they got to make the roster.
Well, I want to give you a reminder that just like that observation that Mike just gave you, we're going to be out there at Falcons training camp. I mean, it is happening now through August 13th. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game will bring you exclusive on-site coverage of Falcons training camp, like Billy Bowman hanging out with the vets and the starters. And Drake London, that interview we played earlier, we're broadcasting live. Us, the morning shift, Steakhouse will be out there too, Andy and Randy. And then when Flowery Branch wraps up, practice wraps up, you can join Dukes and Bell at Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. Coverage is brought to you by your North Georgia Honda dealers and by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. Live coverage of Falcons training camp is rocking and rolling on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It was amazing to me with all the media gathered to see Atlanta Falcons radio, Atlanta Falcons training camp yesterday. The news spread like wildfire. Because everyone got the notifications on their phone yesterday. that Justin Fields had been carted off. And there was an injury. Something was happening. Nobody knew what was going on. But then it kind of started to taper. Panic faded. Still scary. But he does have a dislocated toe injury. Not a significant injury.
People are like, is Kirk Cousins still in the practice field? Yeah, he's over there to choose. I don't know. Justin Fields got carted off. Figured they'd pull him. Like, no. God.
Is there anything more 2025 than knowing that immediately?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, wow. Everybody, yeah, everybody just calm down, man.
Yeah.
Calm down.
I am very, and actually, we're both sitting there like, we hope he's not hurt. Like,
yeah.
We hope it's nothing serious for Justin Fields. Because I think this is, to me, this is that year where Justin Fields, and I know Geno Smith had a later in his career kind of renaissance of his career, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But to me, this is the biggest year of Justin Fields' career. This is where he either announces to the league, I am a starter, treat me with the respect of one, or yeah, I'll come back up your quarterback.
Completely agree. This is either he can either be Baker Mayfield moving on,
yep,
or he could be Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. And I defended Baker Mayfield for years and got clowned by people I did shows with, because they're like, why do you defend Baker Mayfield? I think he got a raw deal in Cleveland. I'm leaning more towards that with Justin Fields than ever, but Justin Fields also has to adapt. He can't go through games in the NFL and never throw the ball in the middle of the field. He just can't. If he's going to be an NFL quarterback, he has to do that. I hope he figures it out. I do. I want to see guys succeed. Especially when I know they put in work and they're from our city. I mean, he's a Georgia kid, he's a Kennesaw kid, Harrison High School. I hope he's fine and he's able to secure his starting spot in New York.
Well, the Raiders have released Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, this is something you do not see very, very much
it's
in the
really
NFL
weird.
Landscape. Designation of terminated vested veteran is what he was released under, which I think voids. I think it's $35 million. I have to look up the number in terms of his contract. But the NFLPA almost immediately goes to file grievance. I almost feel like, in a way, that Las Vegas kind of like smelled blood in the water in terms of the NFLPA. And they're like, they're in a bad place right now. Just go ahead and see if we can slip this one in there. They're in a bad spot. Let's go ahead and see if we can pull this one over their eyes. Essentially, what they're saying is, in his rehab and all the things he was being asked to do coming back from injury, that he did not do the things the team was asking him to do, did not take it seriously, did not go about things the right way, and therefore they completely outright released him and did not give him the guaranteed money left on his contract, which is, I don't remember ever hearing of a situation like this that actually successfully went through.
I remember reading this last night in MGA, and I was thoroughly confused. I was like, what does all this mean? Apparently they think that he needed another surgery and he balked at getting it, and that's why they voided it. So yeah, like you said, he didn't do the things he needed to do. This was one of the biggest. It was like Kirk Cousins and Christian Wilkins in that 24 class. Like, they were two of the biggest guys signed in that 24 free agency class.
Mm-hmm.
And one has been outright released where they voided his guaranteed money, and the other is running with
the
twos.
Well, just quick mention of the Browns GM, Andrew Berry, says that the Browns could keep four quarterbacks on a 53-man roster.
I have a hard time believing it.
Well, that's,
be real.
That's very Cleveland.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing it. I just, it is what it is. And
that's not even counting the guy on the IR.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, and he's making money too. I believe it when I see it. That's my thing. I realize you want to keep all these guys kind of locked in and make sure everybody's battling, but dude, that's a lot, man. We're sitting here wondering if the Falcons are going to keep three.
Can I ask you a question that I think you can answer more than any better suited than anybody else? Isn't that an actual problem for them though? If they have four guys and none of them separate, like not if three of them, if like. Two or three of them can't separate, right? At least two of them don't separate from the other two. That's a problem that all four guys, because none of them are blowing our doors off, like off the top of head.
It's a problem, and it's a massive problem when it comes to Cleveland. Like, it's a problem elsewhere, but if you're going to bring up the Cleveland Browns and quarterbacks, it is a gigantic problem. That is a gigantic problem there.
That jersey might get four more names on the back of it.
No doubt. No doubt.
Well, coming up, we're going to get back into everything that happened yesterday at Falcons training camp. Some of the guys took the podium. We'll let you hear some of that audio. And it is Fair or Foul Friday, so Mike and Bo will be duking it out. That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
Foul, like vowel. The Odyssey app.